This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now, there have been a spate of recent reports of ill treatment and deaths of migrants in detention centres. So questions have come up about living conditions and accountability.
So this is from a report titled A Report from Hell, Conditions of the Immigration Detention Centres in Sabah, and it was released by the Sovereign Migrant Workers Coalition on June 25th. And it said that the Malaysian Embassy in Jakarta recorded the deaths of 149 Indonesians in five Sabah detention centres over 18 months between 2021 and 2022. It also alleged that up to 260 detainees, including children, were put into windowless cells the size of badminton courts with just three toilet holes. There are other accounts of children losing their parents at the centre, people being forced to sleep in the toilet. So there are a lot of things that were put in this report. And I think it's worth pointing out at this juncture, that under the UN body of principles for the protection of all persons under any form of detention or imprisonment, no person under any form of detention or imprisonment should be subjected to torture or cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment.
So this is back in the headlines, or rather, I don't think this ever really left the headlines, but this is catching a lot of attention at the moment because of particular remarks that were made by Home Minister Dato Sri Hamza Zainuddin, which has gotten a lot of criticism. So specifically, he said in a statement that if he could predict deaths in detention to prevent them, then that would make him quote unquote great. And then he went on to say anyone can die anywhere, and that if he knew someone was going to die and so that he wouldn't place them in a detention, that would make him great. That was the context of that. So I think it was just being viewed as fair, being quite callous in the context of what we're hearing about and the kinds of issues. And so we thought we'd unpack both what is happening as well as where this question of accountability lies when it comes to ill treatment in these migrant detention centres. Do share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Joseph Paul, consultant with Tenaga Nita. Joseph, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
So there have been a number of headlines on these immigration detention centres, ranging from ill treatment to even death. What can you tell us about actual living conditions within the centres?
The issue of deplorable conditions in detention camps, immigration center, detention centers, is nothing new. Let me just give just two examples. Way back in 1995, the then executive director of Tenaga Nita, Irene Fernandez, published a memorandum entitled Abuse, Torture and Dehumanized Conditions of Migrant Workers in Detention Centers. And this was based on an extensive interview with more than 300 ex-detainees of these detention centers. And they spelled out a whole litany of abuses, unsanitary conditions, a lack of food, water, medical facilities, and deaths in the detention centers. Now, in 2003, Amnesty International reported tens of deaths in detention centers due to unsanitary conditions and dehydration, and even the rape of a 13-year-old girl in a detention center in Sabah. And every report that has appeared in the public domain since then has only reconfirmed what has already been spelled out earlier. And therefore, I have no doubt that any of the reports or any of the conditions that are detailed in this report by this Sovereign Migrant Workers Coalition is true. And so I don't need to repeat what has already been said.
I wanted to know, how much transparency and accessibility is there for NGOs to observe the state of these centres and how people are doing within them?
I mean, I'll just put it very blankly. NGOs have no access to detention centres. Now, even the UNHCR, which is tasked with the looking after the welfare of refugees, they have not had access to the detention centers for the last 2-3 years already. So really, they operate in a complete black hole. with very little accessibility or transparency. And we feel that this is something that has to change completely.
So the report that was released by the Sovereign Migrant Workers Coalition said the Malaysian embassy in Jakarta had recorded 149 Indonesians who died in five Sabah detention centers over a period of 18 months. This was between 2021 and 2022. What do these numbers indicate about the scope of the problem?
Well, I would say that these numbers, these reports, this report by the coalition only talks about Indonesian migrant workers. Now, we must understand that the detention centers hold detainees from all over the world. There are many nationalities. There are also stateless people. There are refugees who are all in these detention centers. Therefore, if we take this report as a microcosm of what is really happening, and if you extrapolate the figures, I think the figures are much, much bigger than what is mentioned here. But I must reiterate that because these detention centers operate shrouded in secrecy, there is no accessibility, there are no reporting what's happening, it is impossible for us to give even an indication of what are the kinds of numbers that are involved in this kind of abuses and deaths.
So Malaysia's relationship with Indonesia in particular has had some bumps because of workers' rights and treatment. How might this issue factor into those conversations?
Yeah, indeed, Malaysia's relations with Indonesia has been bumpy, to put it mildly, right? And especially when they're talking about abuse and deaths of domestic workers, which have been reported even quite regularly, and even of other migrant workers in other sectors. Therefore, it is definitely not going to enhance or improve our relations with Indonesia, which is taking an increasingly active role in monitoring the human rights conditions of their workers abroad. You know, in fact, if you remember, some years ago, they even put a ban on the hiring of domestic workers from Indonesia, simply because of the many deaths and tortures and abuse that has happened before. But I think we should go beyond Indonesia, because Malaysia sits on the Human Rights Council of the United Nations, and therefore, we should be playing a much more prominent figure in making sure that our conditions in detention camps are, if at all there are such detention camps in the first place, they are, you know, a model for the respect for human rights. And therefore, I would call on not just Indonesia, but the whole international community, to hold Malaysia responsible and accountable for what has been reported.
Has there been enough accountability displayed when it comes to the living conditions here, as well as in responding to these problems that are highlighted?
Well, I would just say no. I mean, I don't want to, you know, sort of mess around trying to be diplomatic. There has been no accountability. And if you look at the statement by the Home Minister, that is indicative of what our position has been. It just trivializes the whole issue. I would imagine that every report of abuse and even death, not even talk about death, even abuses, should be thoroughly, you know, investigated independently in a transparent manner. But unfortunately, that has not been the case. So a simple answer is no. They have been completely unaccountable to the people who have died, to their families, to the Malaysian public, which funds these detention centers. And this is a situation which we cannot accept. And I would call upon the Malaysian listeners out there to really hold this government accountable for putting our country into this kind of, a situation of ill repute in the international community.
So let's break down what the Home Minister has said, because there are a few elements. So he did say that anyone can die anywhere, and that if he knew someone was going to die and he didn't place them in detention, then he would be, and I quote, great. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, the logic is, well, I will not say much about the logic, that anyone who's been detained is automatically presumed to be guilty. And therefore, well, in that case, everyone in detention need not go through a trial and, you know, to prove his guilt. But having said that, my position is that even if a person is guilty, that person does not deserve the kind of torture and dehumanization that they're subjected to. Even the guilty should be accorded basic human rights because they are in our custody. Therefore, if we just say that, you know, he's just saying that just because somebody happens to die, what he's saying really is that people just happen to die in a detention center. Otherwise, they would have died anyway. This kind of puerile, you know, childish kind of reasoning is unacceptable, especially from a minister in our government.
Now, he said that, he also said that detention means that a crime has been committed and that when that happens, we have to follow existing laws. But on the other hand, the Workers' Coalition has recommended that detention actually be considered as a last resort. At the moment, what are the reasons for why the majority of detainees are in these centers?
Okay, let me first of all repeat that just because they are detention, it does not mean their crime has been committed. There are, from our experience in Tanaganita, we know that many people who are in immigration detention centers are there through no fault of their own. Many are undocumented simply because their work permits have not been renewed by their employers. Many are the victims of corruption and malpractices within the immigration center, which often allows, you know, fraudulent or fake kind of permits to be issued. And there are also situations where, I mean, every worker is then tied to a particular employer as a part of the condition of their work permit. Now, this means that a worker who is tied to an abusive employer is not able to leave. And if he does leave, he becomes undocumented. He or she becomes undocumented. We had many instances of workers who have fled from abusive employers who have become undocumented. So there are many reasons why somebody isn't. I would go on to say that the majority of the people who are held for being undocumented really are there through no fault of their own. And it means that every case has to be independently and transparently investigated before they are presumed to be guilty.
Joseph, we have a minute left with you. What would you like to see done to address the issues that have been brought up in these reports?
I think we need to be responsive to these kind of reports. I mean, it goes back to the question of accountability again. Every case that is reported, whether it is of death or abuse, has to be transparently investigated. And we have had far too many reports. It is high time that we have an independent, perhaps a commission of inquiry, to look into the actual living conditions of the conditions in these detention centers. They should be also accessible to the authorities, to the other stakeholders who are working with migrant workers, to ensure that there are minimum standards of health and safety, and you know, that are accorded to these workers. And the kinds of conditions that I've reported in this report by the coalition really means that there's much, much more work to be done.
Joseph, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Joseph Paul, consultant with Tanaganita, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.